relationships as far as husband
any,
or wife?
Any kind.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I think it's any kind of relationship.
All right. So I said mistrust.
Yes.
Lying.
Yes.
Cheating.
Yes.
Being late.
Maybe.
I mean, if you keep saying I'll be there and you're not.
Exactly. Eventually.
That's mistrust,
yes,
right?
Yes,
is
yes.
Is your word your bond?
I hope so.
And if it's not?
You're not worth much.
All right. And yours?
I just want to say that people can text us.
What well,
they
that's
think
right.
can break friendship.
Great idea, Paulina.
Key in the word dove, followed by space, your name, and then what you think breaks friendship. And what are the other questions we had?
What causes mistrust? What gets us into trouble? And what go what
gives,
what
us
gives a, you a soul ache?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think that is? Dove, followed by space, your name, and message to 77948.
So to go on with this is, I have seen many, circumstances that this issue has created tremendous amounts of pain, and no one that I know is innocent of not participating in what I'm talking about.
Ooh.
Everyone at some point or the other has participated.
Ooh. Knowingly or unknowingly?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
So, I guess I'll reveal it.
Okay.
Nobody's calling in.
Yeah.
Poor me.
Well, no, it's all right. No, don't say that. You'll get sued on you. Don't say that.
Hey, so the thing I'm getting at today, what breaks up friendships? Well, let me let the scripture
answer it.
Answer it.
All right.
Proverbs 16:28. Troublemakers starts fights. Gossips break up friendships. Gossip breaks up friendships.
Ooh.
Gossip is what we're talking about today. Gossips can't keep secrets. Proverbs 20:19. So never confide in blabbermouths. Mm-hmm. the soul issue. Find my scripture here.
Yeah. What gives you a soul ache?
Oh my goodness! I can't find my scripture.
But gossip is what breaks up friendships.
Yes. So here's the deal. What's gossip? When are you gossiping about someone?
When?
Yeah. How do we classify gossip?
Fellowship. We're just fellowshipping. We're just sharing. No, we're not gossiping.
Okay.
We're just fellowshipping and sharing.
Okay. So Perry, what you bring up is the Christian denial about gossip.
Yeah.
And so, when you're talking about somebody, why are you talking about them?
Why?
Yeah. What good reason do I have to talk about someone else?
Putting them down to elevate yourself.
Yes. Many times that's the case.
Yeah.
There's a proverb, I can't remember, but it's something like, gossip goes like down to the innermost parts.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a warm, it's like a morsel of food that you relish.
Okay.
So people like to get together and talk about things. You have special inside knowledge that no one has about something.
It empowers you.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So at the base of gossip, which is very, very destructive, I've said this many times, gossip is a cancer to the church, to the body.
Why do we do it? Why do we?
Bottom line,
yeah,
it's a lack of humility.
Wow. I never thought of it that way.
Because it's always trying to gain an advantage. You want to make yourself seem better than somebody else. You enjoy talking about the intimate details of someone else's life to somebody else who's not involved. And what happens is people start building all these little triangles, and then trust is broken, friendships are harmed, the body is
weakened
and splintered. So what I would suggest is that if you have a problem with someone, don't talk to your neighbor about it. Don't talk to someone else about it. Go to the person that you have the issue with and say, I was really hurt by what you said. instead of saying to your friend, well, you know what she did? She said so and so and such and such. You can't believe what she, and I can't believe she was telling.
Wow.
So when you start getting into that mindset, you are hurting
somebody.
Not only that, but listen, you're hurting what God says he loves. God says he loves the church. And he died for her. So you don't need to be tearing it down. You don't need to be breaking it up. You don't need to be causing pain. And listen, none of us are exempt. We've all done this. We've all talked behind somebody's back at one time or the other.
Mm-hmm.
So step one.
What is it not gossiping?
Repent.
Wait a minute. I want to be careful.
Okay. Well, we're going to get to that because what do? Every day, people come to me and talk to me about their problems that would usually include other people.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm not telling anybody. I'm a safe place. I'm a dead end. No one knows. It's a safe place. And this is what the proverb says. You know, don't tell your problems to blabbermouths. Because they're going to take the confidential information that you share, and they're going to tell everybody. And then what are people going to do? So here's what I've seen over and over again, Perry. So two people talk, and the person telling the story gives one-third of it. And then the person listening makes judgments or decisions about the person that's being talked about based on one-third of the information.
Hmm.
What's that going to lead to?
Aim.
Yes, exactly. Mean people spread mean gossip. Their words smart and burn. Proverbs 16:27.
I think there's nothing that is isn't gossiping a form of mistrust. I mean, you shared something with somebody.
Yep.
And then they broke that trust, that bond, by sharing it with somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be, you know.
And do people? I mean, you're a counselor, so obviously a little bit different view. But I guess the question would be somewhat rhetorical: can people trust you when they talk to you?
Exactly, that's a big key. And if somebody is untrustworthy, don't share stuff with them. If somebody's a gossip, avoid them. I love this story I heard. It was about a pastor of a fairly large church. And he had a guy who always would come up to him every day, every Sunday, and say, hey, pastor, how's it going? And hey, how's so-and-so doing? And what's going on with so-and-so? And, rah, rah, rah. And the pastor started getting increasingly uncomfortable with, he felt like he was like being milked for information.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes to his elders, and he's like, you know, I don't know, what do I do with this guy? How do I handle it? And the elders say, what do the scriptures say? And the guy's like, well, there's a good idea. Well, the scriptures say that we are to avoid a gossip.
So he avoided him.
So he started avoiding the guy deliberately. So after a few weeks, the guy comes to the pastor. He says, pastor, what's wrong? Are you avoiding me? Yeah, I am. Why? Because you're a gossip. Well, now we've addressed the issue. The guy was, you know, taken aback, took a couple days, and then he went back to the pastor and says, you know, I'm really unaware of what I was doing. Tell me.
Because gossip can turn into a rumor that can turn into a cancer that can destroy a church.
Yeah, I've seen it a time and time again.
Yeah, exactly. And perhaps that's why, remember the ninth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you think about commandments, what really helped me one time, it's helping me now to understand. I mean, they are commandments, but really think of them as something that man was created to be. This is what we were meant to be, all those things. Mm-hmm. And so it's possible to avoid the gossip.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to let Patrick tell us what to
do. Listening to gossip, Proverbs 26:22, listening to gossip is like eating cheap candy. Do you want that junk like that in your belly?
Mm, eat your belly. You know, let me share one little story here, and I'm not gossiping. One of the pastors in my life that I dearly love, he's still alive today, and we talk quite often on the phone. He's retired now. And I got to work with him. I was an associate with him for a couple of years.
Uh-huh.
There was this nasty rumor going around the church. And he got up in front of the church and said what the rumor was.
Uh-huh.
And he says, I have the list of five names where I've heard this. Tomorrow morning, I'm calling these five names.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to ask them where they got it. And then I'm going to call those people. And right. I'm going to ask them where they got it. And I'm going to call those people. And I'm going to ask them where they yep. got it. That thing dried up in 30 seconds.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It just evaporated.
So that pastor, like the pastor I talked about, and like the proverb just said, when no one will listen to gossip, it stops. Yeah. If you don't listen to it, it won't continue. Because if no one passes it on, it's dead. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, if somebody's gossiping and you know it, confront them right on the spot. Or just say, you know, I think that's out of line. I don't really want to listen to this. I don't really want to know anymore. You need to talk to the person that you're talking about, not me. And if we do that, what happens is all that stuff dies. It doesn't have any life anymore. The only way it gets life is when we take it in. And then we go share it with somebody else. And that's what that pastor was very, you know, nicely addressing, is that we're going to get to the source of this.
Isn't gossiping like lying? You got to remember what you said.
Well, it's gossip is never really just the unvarnished truth. It's usually embellished. It's usually, you know, the story is just a little bit changed so that it seems a little bit worse.
Mm-hmm.
Because it feels so, people feel so, oh, you know, and then because, oh, and then because, and then they didn't. Oh, did you know? And oh, yeah, and then because, That kind of mentality, that kind of that's you're going down the wrong road when you're doing that.
All right, if you got any questions for Patrick on this subject, 776-5368. The questions we have: what breaks up friendship? What causes mistrust? What gets us into trouble? What gives us a soul ache?
Yeah.
What starts fights?
Yep.
All right, Frank, you got any thoughts on this?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
You know, the dilemma as I see it is like no man is an island.
Yep.
But other than, you know, sharing these things with God or with your therapist, I've found it's hard to find people. I've had my trust violated and anonymity violated from, you know, pastors. So, I mean, it's hard to find safe people to share these things with.
Yeah, it's true. And I would say that it is true. That's why I keep saying over and over again through the years that developing healthy, mature, safe relationships is something we need to be about all the time. Because it's not if, it's when we're going to need it.
Exactly. All right, take care, guys.
Thank you.
You know, what's interesting is that, all right, now, I asked you the question earlier, when is gossiping not gossiping? When is talking about somebody else not gossiping?
So, you and I have a concern, or we know someone who's in trouble. We get together, we talk, we pray, but we don't talk about anything outside of what we know. It's only eyewitness account. Okay? We don't go talk to other people. We might be consulting with one another over something, but we're not going outside of the circumstance. And if anything in that conversation was shared with the person that we're talking about, they're not surprised. They're not bothered because they know everything. So it's not secret. See, when you get into secret conversation about someone, you're probably in gossip. Now listen, I've talked to thousands of people about stuff no one else knows. And they still don't know. Because I haven't gossiped about it. Now, if I take those stories and I go to somebody and say, you know what so-and-so said to me? And then that person hears it, and then they take it to somebody. And we've all played the game at some point in our life where we do the story starts at one end of the line, and then we retell it to the other end of the line. And the story that started and the story that ends are always very different. Because as it goes through people, it gets translated and filtered and changed. You ever played that game?
Mm.
It's in every single case, it ends up very different. So the more people it goes through, the more problematic it becomes. And that's why we need to stay more direct with our conversation. Speak to the person that it's about. Don't talk about it.
Well, it's...
Go ahead.
It seems like a lot of the people I know, and myself included, would gossip when... people would feel uncomfortable with the silence.
Yeah.
You just want to kind of fill up the gap, and, you know, the easiest thing to do is talk about someone else.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, silence can be the cure, the solution here. Yeah. It's okay to be silent. In fact, you know, it's really hard to sin when you're silent.
Yeah. Well, I love the proverb that says, in the abundance of words, sin lacketh not. and I really agree with that.
I want to get into this too, is, all right, the confidence has been broken, the trust has been broken, can it be restored?
Yes.
Okay, we can get into that, but let me take a call here. Hi, Julie, what's on your mind today?
Hi. Yeah, you had asked one of the questions of what breaks up friendship, and I was just talking to a young friend about this yesterday, and one of the things we find is that when the other person that you're in a friendship with doesn't want to invest the same amount of time in the relationship that you do.
Mm. Yeah. Well, and when you say time, I think oftentimes what that means is that the person doesn't have the same interest in the relationship.
Right. And then that's where the soulmate comes in, is because you feel rejected.
Well, yes, absolutely. Well, but that's a very much a reality, Julie, but that's different than gossip.
Right. But I was just answering the question you had earlier.
Oh, well, you're right. There are more than one thing that will cause a soul ache. But if you're a victim of gossip, it'll cause a soul ache. And,
uh-huh.
And if you're a recipient of gossip, whether you know it or not, it'll cause a soul ache. It'll disturb the spiritual life that you have.
Uh-huh.
So, but yeah, and that's why I think it's important, Julie, that we honestly evaluate what other people are saying in terms of how the relationship's going, so that we don't find ourselves in sort of an uneven relationship. And that has really helped when we're not in denial about what they're doing.
Uh-huh.
As painful as that is.
When you find you're in that type of relationship, what's the best thing to do?
Let it go.
Okay.
If you know, you don't want to chase somebody around or force them. You just, you know, that's part of God's way of letting us know who to have a friendship with and who doesn't, who not to. If they're not interested, you know, that doesn't. But the other thing I would say is, you don't have to take that as rejection, although it might feel that way.
Right.
It doesn't. It's, you know, there's lots of people that don't want to hang out with me, but I don't feel rejected. It's just they don't want to hang out with me. That's fine. But there are others that do, and I enjoy them.
Uh-huh.
So I'm looking to find the ones that do, and I want to enjoy them. And, you know, I'm not going to be friends with everybody.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and what I had told this person yesterday is that people come into your life for a season, a reason, or a lifetime.
That's right. Exactly. That's
well
very
said.
Good.
All right. Okay. Very good. Thanks, Julie. Okay, well said. Lorraine, hi. What's on your mind?
Oh, hi, Perry. I was calling. I looked up the meaning of gossip a couple of months ago. Was in a situation needing to know where my heart was at. And the dictionary says, the familiar or idle talk with groundless rumor,
mm-hmm.
and its mischievous tattle.
Mm-hmm.
One who tattles or talks idly. So the gossiper talks idly, usually about the affairs of others.
Yes.
And it says, to be a gossip means you're repeating things as gossip,
right.
And that's your motive, you know.
Yep.
And so it's always checking our motive. Why are we sharing something? You know?
Excellent.
So anyway.
Excellent.
Well said. Thanks,
yeah.
Lorraine.
You're welcome.
It reminds me of Proverbs 11:13. A gossip can't be trusted with a secret, but if someone of integrity, won't violate a confidence.
So what is it about a person that knowingly that they are gossiping, knowingly that they're violating maybe a trust or, you know, private information, but they can't help themselves. It's kind of sound like it. I've had, and you probably have more than I have, but you experience, they just can't. It's like an addiction. They just got to.
Yeah. Well, this is what I said earlier. This is when I go back to humility. See, if you have humility and you're considering others better than yourself, and you're considering who they are and what their feelings are, the chances of you gossiping about them with a soft heart, very low. You have a hardened heart because you've got a significant amount of pride. Whether it's visible or not really doesn't matter. That's what allows you to maliciously talk about someone else. You can't do that with a soft heart.
Can a gossiper, do they accept criticism about gossiping?
No.
Okay, so you've
generally
got
your hard heart will prevent that.
All right, so you got a self-perpetuating problem going
exactly.
on.
Exactly, which is why, as brothers and sisters, we, if someone's caught in that trap, and that's what I would say, it's a trap that people get caught in, the gossip trap. We, as brothers and sisters, have to help that problem by not being involved with it. If somebody doesn't repent, we should avoid them. Don't talk to them. Don't engage them. Don't give them information. Let them feel the isolation. Let them ask the question. And then us, as brothers and sisters, I love the scripture that says, you who are spiritual, if you find your brother caught in sin, kick him to the curb, beat him up, and tell people all about his sin.
No,
that's not what the scripture says. You who are spiritual, if you find your brother caught in sin, restore him gently, but be careful lest you yourself also fall in. So there's always that humility involved with correction. So we need to correct folks like that, but we need to do it gently. And if they are unwilling to get involved, then we need to let them go and keep them on the outskirts of the body.
All right. Hi, ma'am. You got a question today?
Yes. What do you do if you are in a working environment with someone who is a gossip? You try to live above the gossip.
Right.
You don't engage him in friendship. I mean,
right.
Except for casual friendship. But what do you do when that person talks about you and you just keep trying to live above it and do what's right, but mm-hmm. you don't really feel like it's a situation where you can confront them mm-hmm. and it keeps going on and on?
Well, if there's no way to confront, there's no authority that you have, or there's no authority that you can encourage to confront it, then you have to put your trust in Christ that you're in that situation for a reason. And even though there doesn't seem to be any justice, you continue to do the right thing because that's the right thing to do. Otherwise, I would look for a way out of that circumstance.
What about writing a note?
No way out.
No way out. Then this is what you have to do. You have to trust God every day to deal with it, and you have to maybe, I would say, find someone that you can confide in and share some of your frustration so it doesn't build up.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Right, thank you.
Thank you.
Wow, yeah.
Can I give a quick suggestion too?
Sure.
Pray for those people.
Yeah.
Pray for those that are gossiping about, because, I mean, we can't change anything, but God can.
He can.
And
that's right.
So pray for them.
Yeah, yeah. It's exactly true.
You confront them with a note?
No. Okay. I mean, she said it was confrontation wasn't possible because of the work situation.
Hmm.
But outside of that, I would certainly confront them if I could. That would be what I would want to do, is confront them. Now, when you confront somebody, you got to remember the risk you're taking is destroying the relationship, or what little relationship is there. There's no guarantee that confrontation is going to end in reconciliation. Just
but aren't they that. Already destroying the relationship?
Exactly. That's my point. What do you really got to lose? What you're doing when you confront is taking a shot at having an opportunity to have a good relationship.
Yeah.
But if they don't repent, you got to move on.
Yeah. Boy, that's hard to do, but...
It is.
I'll tell you what, on the other side of that's real peace.
Exactly. That's the whole goal. And a healthy body, which is really what we want to be, is a healthy body.
Thank
Don't
you,
gossip. And if you have, repent.
Okay. Thanks, Bob.
You bet.